These are the recollections of Turner Ashby, memories of the years when the oceans rose and several states were separated asunder. Chapter 28. Lady Fitzgerald leaned against me outside a dairy bar on Fall Street. We sat on one of those concrete curved benches attached to a bright yellow cracked plastic table that had an umbrella that didn't cast its shadow correctly. It was hot and squinting bright. It's always hot and bright in that part of the country. Number of folks were milling around buying soft custard, paying attention to their children. That was unusual, all of it. The leisure, the custard, the attention, the children. The days would continue to become more and more unusual. Turner, we need to find a place to be alone, figure this all out. Lady said, her palm on my cheek. She found a lock of my hair between her fingers and tucked it behind my ear. An endearment she'd begun when we were kids. I leaned back against her, our bodies pushing on each other. I dribbled a bit of custard. I missed you, Turner. I missed you all the time. Ladies was saying things that she didn't usually say. I hate this body. I smell like a moose. Now, of course, Lays was not in her body. She had digitally jumped from the digital cloud, I can't remember how many days before, into Peter Starr's body. So when she leaned on me, playfully pushing her shoulder against mine, licking her custard, what people saw, what the average passerby witnessed, was a good-looking white Caucasian, 6'2", tall, professional-looking man, no discernible scars, leaning on me, acting like a teenage schoolgirl. Lays put Peter Starr's hand between my knees. Lord, it's hot. Let's get out of here. Where do you want to go? I asked. Anywhere. How about the beach? I miss the beach, I said. Sounds okay, only 1,500 miles in the wrong direction. I stood up. You still gonna marry that man? Who? Peter Starr, I said. I'm afraid the wedding's off. I'd never been so happy in all my life. I smiled. What are you smiling at, Turner? What do you care? Nothing, I said. Our old caravan carrying Sterling Bowen, little Lady Astoria, who wasn't so little anymore, Ed and Claire and their child, whom I could never remember the name of. I still can't. I had dinner with him and his family the other day. I still can't remember his name. I shook his hand and I mumbled. At 86 years old, I'm good at one thing, mumbling. Well, anyway, we all pulled into Trinidad, Colorado. After stopping and stuttering and crawling across those dust-tainted, inadequate trails of the panhandle of Oklahoma, the roads were clogged with wanderers. Well, wanderers is not quite the right term. They weren't wandering no more. These people knew where they were headed. They were headed home. Home. There was glee in their eyes. There had not been anything like glee in the land in a long, long time. For a number of years, the huddled masses had been forced by high tides, debt, and broken governments at state, federal, and local into what us historians often call the get-gone. And the get-gone, of course, dovetailed into the wider and less specific 15 to 20-year policy of keep-on, loosely translated into we wish you would keep on moving. Because we don't have any idea what the hell to do with you. And by the way, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Keep moving, please. There were many people, my dear compatriots, such as Ed and Claire amongst them, who only had dim memories of any way of life that preceded the get-gone. Just didn't know. And suddenly, there we were with the advent of the, and here I do quote, the great deposit backlash. The great deposit went like this. Suddenly, real monies, real currencies of any number of denominations and nationalities were deposited in the individual dormant and dried out accounts of any number of indentured individuals held in any number of average financial institutions across the land. Now, monies, hard cash, was suddenly and deservedly back in the accounts. back where it belonged. Accounts that had not held a dime for years. But you must understand, the accounts had been held open in order for the banks to legally prove that the accounts were empty, and the account holders were then liable for the monies that were not in those accounts. All those years, folks and their children, their grandchildren, had been sent off and pressed into servitude to work in the soggy bean fields of Texas and the Southwest, because they could not pay the taxes and liens that they owed from years and years before. And suddenly, there was the money wired into their accounts, and they could pay, and they were gone. The disenfranchised were going to get their lands back, and they were going to get the bonds back, and the boots and the boats, and even their child's shoes back, whether they fit or not. And then they'd pile all into wagons, or stuff it all into cars, or simply drag it on behind them, and go home. What a lovely word. Don't know what it means. After all these years, I have no idea what home means. But it remains a lovely, lovely word. It didn't matter. Everybody aimed to go home. Within a couple of months, the get gone had turned around and turned into the get back. All harkens back to the single 45 RPM of Get Back, backed with the fine, fine version of Don't Let Me Down, originally credited to the Beatles with Billy Preston, which once again became a number one record on the hit parade 75 years after it first issued back in 1969. It's a little fact for you. Where's your body, ladies? Claire asked as we were driving up from the south, desperately escaping Texas.
What do you mean?
Lays asked.
Where's your real body?
I don't know.
Lays looked a little alarmed, maybe a little bit embarrassed.
South Carolina, Florida, you got to get it back pretty soon, real soon there, Lays.
Couldn't she just send herself back? She must have an address, push some buttons, flip a dip switch, write some code, Ed asked.
I don't know, did you ever try sending yourself anywhere?
No, I didn't try nothing. My chip hardly ever worked. You ever tried?
No, I never tried it. I grew up in a righteous sect, and we was all well proper anti-tech. We used to burn the chips, stomp them, build bonfires. You ever try to jump your chip, Story?
Little ass Story shrugged.
My chip was always pretty good. I knew it was enhanced. My daddy always bought the upgrades. But when the Fairlizers tapped me, they overrode insecurity or old code I had. It left the chip behind. We all met up in the cloud. It was like floating. I was outside my chip, outside my head.
She's gonna wanna be close in physical proximity on chip. That's absolutely necessary,
Sterling Bawal said.
Make it easier to jump back.
How do you know? Ed asked.
Oh, back in the day, I had some run-ins. That's right, some run-ins with fixing a few chips. You gotta pry your way out of some of those sometimes if you want to get a body off the grid.
Who said anything about getting Lays off the grid? I asked.
Oh, now, with what's coming over the political horizon, oh my, every good and solemn one of us is going to want to get off the grid.
I assure you, oh, I do, I assure you. You ain't going to want to have nobody know where you are. None of us will. Sterling scratched his chin.
We may require some rarefied equipment and some specialized specifications to conjure up a few digital tricks, don't you know? Of course, that's once we've figured out where Miss Fitzgerald's corporeal bin is being housed.
Any idea, Lays?
Claire said.
Any idea where your body is right now? I'm pretty sure the GPS is still in my body, but it remains finding a way to look without letting Suckerhauser know we're looking.
Peter Starr's body arched and yawned.
I'm so tired hauling around this big body. I need some rest,
Lays said. I'll stay with her right here. I volunteered out of the goodness of my own heart.
Oh, that won't do. You can't stay in this old Winnebago no more,
Sterling Bawan said.
Most likely, we're going to have to ditch this old RV and buy us some good old horses if we mean to keep moving on. Meanwhile, I'll whip up some new passports and some new IDs while you cut your hair and find some properly innocuous change of clothes.
So, Lays and I were sitting at the dairy bar on Fall Street. I'd finished my crispy cherry dazzle, and Lays pushed a peanut butter fudge malted crunch away.
been out of my body more than you think, Tanner,
Lay said.
And this isn't the first body I've had to jump into. While you were playing Duke and Duchess in your stables up there in that little castle up in Kentucky,
she held up a hand to keep me from defending myself.
I was practicing and being practiced on. I got pretty darn good at jumping my chip and going digital and even physically jumping my brain. Hard part is you have to put up with the body you're in. I can't believe a dumbass like Peter Starr don't like chocolate. Oh, we gotta figure this out. I gotta get out of this.
We walked across Boulevard from one strip mall to another. For 100 years, strip malls have been as American as apple pie.
Damn, Turner, I want to fuck something. Isn't that awful? Is that the way men always feel? What a pain in the ass.
Lays took my elbow like a well-born woman, although she was a good half head taller than me. We crossed the street, got wolf whistled at, almost got hit by a car. Trinidad, Colorado don't have much. But what has God got plenty of? Flop houses, rooming houses, bath houses, questionable motels, pool for patrons only. Weekly rates, monthly rates, hourly rates. Trinidad was and remains a vital crossroads in the Southwest, truly enlightened to the needs of the trucker and the weary traveler.
You boys looking to lay down for a bit?
Cracked, coughing, husky-voiced woman with very nice-looking legs, a short denim skirt, and with just a little touch of 3 days stubble on her chin asked us. I remember how odd it was to be real to yourself sometimes. She addressed me, looking at Peter Starr's body. You got yourself a prize there, son. How long are you going to need a room?
A couple hours, I said.
All night,
Lay said. We let ourselves into a dingy room. Ain't that always the way, dingy rooms? There's often danger and damage and change. And oh, Lord, ladies was part of the change that was going to come, connecting 1,000 another 1,000 women with the cast-off technology of connecting people by their digital mental enhanced chips. Ladies had helped institute a monstrous change in the Fairlizer grabbed that change and instituted it throughout the land, bending how governments worked, how women worked, how a body could save itself. It stood the reason that somebody, well, a number of bodies, a number of institutions would be searching for Lays. We didn't know if the same bodies would be searching for Peter Starr, and not, he'd been playing both sides for so long. Stood the reason somebody from somewhere would be looking for him, and they might not be awful polite about what they'd do to him when they found him.
Hold me, Turner. Please.
I held Lays, even though the body I held was a man's body, a man I really didn't care for at that point. Peter Starr, his hard shoulders, wide, flat chest, big feet. But the eyes were Lays's. Somehow the eyes were Lays's through and through.
You've been a good friend, Turner. I want you to always remember that.
What do you mean, I asked.
This time I don't know if I'll make it back.
She began fiddling with my belt.
Lay with me, Turner. Lay down with me.
I did. I lay down with her. Peter Starr, his oversized arms around me, his hands pulling on my shirt, pulling over my head, his stubbled beard against my cheek. His movements were that of Lay's. Light, a questioning touch. Broken catch in her throat, a sense of getting lost when she didn't want to get lost. And a terrible want, oh, terrible want. I kissed back. I did. I will always remember that. My very last breath. The gray morning came. We'd hardly slept. We talked about our childhoods and the drowned shreds of Richmond.
I wish your mama had been my mama.
You don't mean that, I said, but maybe I just didn't want to share my mama.
I do mean it. All my mama wanted was a test subject, a little bunny rabbit for her psycho-digital experiments. You remember when you found me hiding on your porch? She planted a homing device in me to see how far I'd go.
I smiled. Nobody got any further than my mama's applesauce cake, I said.
That's as far as I went.
Lay smiled, too. And finally drifted off to sleep.
A gray man equipped with a .22 pistol and an off-market GPS quietly. Not silently, we should have heard him. Slipped into that dingy hotel room. Broken lamp. Some shouting. And the authorities arrived. Peter Story had two holes in his chest. I had blood on my hands. And Lays was gone. More later. Turner Ashby.